You're listening to a DM podcast.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present. This is the Dude Cinema Podcast.
But I was just like scrolling through it like nerds, nerds, nerds. Like I don't care.
Movie shaming needs to stop.
Obviously, a dude wrote this script.
These teeth aren't friends, and I'm like, I'm about it.
I honestly think that this movie should just be called Red Flags.
Let me, Miles, tell you.
Fuck you, Stanley Kubrick.
This is the Dude Cinema Podcast. My name is Beck Howard, and with me is gorgeous, talented, funny, cool ghost, Alex J.
I'm cool.
You're cool.
Can it be like I'm cool, like a K-E-W-L?
Yeah, you're like 90s cool.
Yeah. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies that dudes have told us we have to see. And if you would like to support us, you can subscribe to our Gold Class feed on Apple, Spotify, or Patreon for exclusive weekly content for just $7 a month. Links are in the show notes.
Yes, this week we are going to be talking about an annoying text my mom sent me.
We're going to be annoyed at healthcare professionals.
Yes. Actually, yeah. You know what? I am going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking that bitch down.
We're taking it behind the paywall.
Yeah. So if you want to hear
spicy shit,
hear me complain about the medical system and my mom, come on over.
And I'm also going to be talking about a couple of movies, The Stranger, Armageddon Time, and This Place Rules. I've been watching a lot.
Oh, I want to hear so much about that.
Okay, great. So head on over right now, Cinemates. But my love.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. I currently have a medical situation going on.
Situation?
That is making me feel not very great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, no. If you've listened to this podcast a long time, if you're new, welcome. I have herpes.
My name's Beck.
I have herpes. I used to actually start every single episode of the podcast.
You did. It was like, this is the Dude Cinema podcast. Beck has herpes.
Yeah. Now let's talk about a movie. But it hasn't bothered me for quite some time.
Yeah.
So I haven't been talking about it.
Exactly.
But it's back, baby.
Ooh.
And it's ruining
with
my life.
Vengeance.
So if I seem woozy, if I seem out of it, it's because I'm taking so many pills.
Yeah. Well, lucky we don't have any kind of a disturbing movie to talk about.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to be honest. I've been in a real mood this week because of it. So I went into the cinema this week to watch this movie, and I sat down and I folded my arms. And I thought, here we fucking go. Before this.
Just try and entertain me.
Yeah.
Try, cunt.
I dare you. I bet you can't. So this may be a slightly brash.
So that's the energy you're bringing into
review
this review
of this movie. Anyway, how are you, babe?
I'm good. Just finished my back at work this week, first full week back at work. So I'm feeling I've been really out of it the last few weeks. I've noticed every time you ask me how I am, I'm like, okay. and I've realized it's because I am just such a basic bitch that needs routine. And
routine is so important.
Oh, but the cool people don't need routine.
No, the cool people like me, we say we don't need a routine.
Yeah.
But then we're so stressed and have no money all the time. And please sign up to the Patreon.
Well, I also have no money all the time.
Yeah.
That will never go away.
No, routine is important. And that's what all the doctors say. They say, have a routine. It's helpful. It's good for you.
The doctors are correct because I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders this week purely by having an alarm to get up to in the morning.
Very
it's
nice.
Changed my life. So I'm good.
Good.
Yes. Before we move on to the movie,
yes,
got a couple of nice people say nice things.
Oh, good.
This
I
week.
Need it. Please, yeah. Give me.
So first off, shout out to Trevor Gilmore, who just became a top tier Patreon.
Trevor!
We love Trevor. Trevor's been a long time Cinemate, and Trevor is the Cinemate, we've spoken about them before, where Trevor takes our tote bag.
Yeah, all around the world.
All around the world, and takes photos, and it's freaking adorable.
Which was particularly nice, you know, over COVID times.
Over COVID times.
We were like, oh, we're somewhere else. Isn't that nice?
I'm not in my living room.
Oh. Oh, man, you didn't need to upgrade the Patreon to be a top tier cinemate. We thank you. Please don't downgrade.
So
but
stay there.
You've always been a top tier cinemate, Trevor. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And then this comes from Ashley on Patreon. So Ashley told us an amazing story about connecting with the Everything Everywhere director, Daniel Kwan. However, I can't tell the story because it's got a lot of private details in it.
Oh, my God.
But, and then Ashley followed up with some lovely, nice people say nice things as well. Okay, so she said, I would also like to add that, one, I've started saying akumite to you to my boyfriend and he loves it. Ah! Two, quote, teeth are not friends is an iconic phrase that should be added to Urban Dictionary.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Ashley.
I have to agree with that. It's one of my favorite phrases that have come out of this 4 years of this podcast. And then she said, I would love, love, love it if you guys would watch RRR.
I've been dying to watch that.
The one that told me about this.
It won Best International Film at the Golden Globes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I don't want to do cinema you, but it's so good. So hilariously macho, so over the top, so beautifully designed, so bonkers, so full of hot dudes and dancing, and so sincere about the power of loving male friendships. And it also introduced me to the world of Indian film, and now I'm obsessed. And she said, okay, this message is probably too long. I'll let you go. You ladies have places to go, jokes to tell, akumite to you.
Oh, Ashley.
So, Ashley.
You.
We love you.
I definitely want to do RRR soon.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're the one that told me about that. And since you've mentioned it, I've seen it, so many people talking about it. Yeah,
well, Alexi Toliopoulos was the one who told me. So, it's completely down the Dude Cinema pipeline.
Fuck yeah. And that's how nice people say nice things.
Oh, okay, I'm feeling in a better place.
Great.
I'm feeling a little more positive.
Shall we ruin that now? Talking about
Let's
this movie.
Give it a go.
So the movie we're doing today is The Banshees of Ed Sheeran. And I've had a lot of fun around the house calling it The Banshees of Ed Sheeran.
That's very funny.
It's delightful, and I can't recommend it enough.
That's a fun joke. No one's getting hurt. Everyone's having a good time.
Exactly. It's punching laterally, you know?
That's one of those personal bits where you're like, I don't care if no one else gets anything from this. This is for me.
Genuinely, that has been my vibe around that joke. I've said it so many times in the house. It gets nothing. It got maybe a recognition, like a raised eyebrow recognition the first time, but I am not backing down because I love it so much.
And you shouldn't have to back down.
Thank you.
Can I tell you my bit that I do for myself?
Absolutely.
That no one, Skip doesn't like because he's the only person I do it to. Is when every time we're leaving the house and you know how you check, you go like, oh, have you got the key?
Yep.
I always go, and have you got the secret? I got the key. I got the secret. I got the key to it. And I don't sing the song. I just say, have you got the secret? And he doesn't know the song.
That's even better if they don't know the reference.
He's like, stop doing that. Like, I'll never stop. I'll never stop asking for the key and the secret.
You've managed to like exclude him from a joke that is just between the two of you.
Yeah. It's so cruel.
Hey, it's good to keep him in line, you know?
Anyway, so the Banshees of Inisherin. And what did you know?
Well, look, okay, so I had heard of this. The reason we're doing it is because the Golden Globes did cinnamon it to us, or the Critics' Choice Awards, one of the awards recently.
Well, yes, because we were really hoping that Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to take out the Golden Globe for Best Musical or Comedy, and then it didn't. Banshees of Inisherin got it, and I said, well, we'll bloody see about that, won't we?
Okay, so I forgot that fact.
Okay.
And I feel like if I'd gone into the viewing knowing that fact, I probably would have walked in with my arms crossed as well.
Because that also could – the whole time I was like, well, you think you're fucking better?
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Everything Ever All at Once? I'll fucking see if you're Everything Ever All at Once. Don't think about it.
No, it's changing it in my head.
No, we need a positive – we need someone to be positive in this. But also, if you change your mind, welcome to the dark side, baby.
Okay, so I didn't know anything of what it would be about. I knew that Colin Farrell and the old Irish guy was in it because the old Irish guy hosted SNL a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he did.
And Colin Farrell did like a cameo part of it. It was all completely to promo this movie. So I just knew that they were in it and I knew that it was like Irish and like Banshees of Inisherin. Like you could not think of a movie title less in my wheelhouse. Like, so I just knew it would be like Irish dudes being dudes and they'd be looking across, again, like last week, looking across a plane at some point.
Hey, you weren't wrong.
Yeah.
You weren't wrong.
But yeah, I just knew it was, it did not seem like my movie, like my kind of movie, but I just knew that everyone was frothing over it. And because like I knew those two guys had starred in another movie previously directed by the same guy. Bruges.
In Bruges, which also had how it was written was like B-R-U-U-D. It was like written weird and it wasn't like how you said it. So it's the same thing of being like, we don't care that it's hard to say. Mm-mm-mm. We're going to call it this anyway.
You try and pronounce this shit. Well, that's all of Gaelic, isn't it? You try and pronounce this shit. Yeah.
Give it a go. I bet you fucking can't.
You embarrassed now? Yeah, you're embarrassed. What did you think this movie was about?
I knew it would be about a couple of men do it. Because I thought In Bruges was like an action movie.
I've got no concept of what it is.
Like it was almost kind of like a Guy Ritchie vibe.
Okay.
From the poster, I was like, it's a lot of British men in long coats standing around.
Yes. Oh, this feels very Guy Ritchie as well.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe there's like a mystery. Maybe it's like a heist. Maybe, who knows? That's what I thought going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I knew. The end.
Shall we jump in?
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Colm, Sonny, Larry. Didn't you and he used to be the best of friends?
We're still the best of friends.
No, you're not.
Who says we're not?
Sit somewhere else.
Now, if I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you.
When you didn't do anything to me.
I just don't like you no more. You didn't like me yesterday.
Why does he not want to be friends with you no more? Why is he 12?
What the hell's going on with you, me feckin' brother?
He's dull, Siobhan.
But he's always been done.
The other night, 2 hours you spent talking to me about the things you found in your little donkey's shite that day.
Well, it wasn't me little donkey's shite. It was me pony's shite, which shows how much you were listening.
The Banshees of Inisherin, directed by Martin McDonagh. Everything was fine yesterday. Two lifelong friends find themselves in an impasse when one abruptly ends their relationship with alarming consequences for both of them.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that's, yeah, that doesn't really explain it at all.
Not at all. Alexia.
Yes.
For the people that haven't seen this movie or saw it and didn't know what the fuck was going on, could you please sum it up for them?
I absolutely can. So I, full transparency, against all odds, I really liked this movie. And I can, against all odds.
Hey, you're not the only one. It's very highly rated on everything. It won an award.
I'm offended that I agree with the masses. So basically, I totally know where you're coming from with the arms folded thing because, like I said before, this is now the second week in a row where we've watched a bunch of dudes looking across planes and not being able to communicate well.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm so glad you acknowledged that.
No Country and Banshees. It's just the American and Irish version of the same dude.
Yeah, one of them at least has greenery in it.
That's true. One of them is nice to look at. So it's about Colin. It's set in 1923 Ireland in a small island of Ireland.
Yes.
And so it's very remote, very desolate, and it's just like there's probably like 20 people in the town. And it's just this really small story, like a very small story between these two men, Colin Farrell and the old guy, who have been lifelong friends. And suddenly the old guy decides he doesn't want to be friends with Colin Farrell anymore.
The old guy's name is Colin.
Ugh.
And the, what's,
Oh, the old guy's name is Colm.
C-O-L-M. Oh, really? Yes.
Know that because one of my favorite Jean Valjeans was played by Colm Wilkinson. But anyway.
Oh, la la.
So it's Colm and Padraig.
Padraig. That's his name.
Padraig.
Padraig.
Which is the Gaelic version of Patrick.
Okay, because they had to. I got to like an hour and a half into this movie, and I finally was like, "Oh, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. It's not just a bunch of vowels and consonants all muddled together."
I was like, "Someone say it clearly. Spell it out for me."
Not in this movie. Mm-mm-mm. So then Padraic becomes like really upset that Colm has ended their friendship.
Mm.
And it's just like, it is definitely a comedy. There's like, I found like so many unexpectedly funny moments in it. And then at about the hour and a half mark, things fucking escalate really quickly.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it and you want to, there will be spoilers in this. And it escalates really quickly. And then all of a sudden, Colm says, if you talk to me again, if you keep bothering me, if you keep talking to me, I'm going to start cutting off my fingers.
Yes.
And we all think it's just an empty threat.
Mm.
And then Padraic does bother him again. And then he does start cutting off his own fingers.
Yeah.
And then...
And throwing them at his fucking door. Throwing them at his door.
And then like a couple of deaths happen and it all just becomes really tragic really quickly.
Mm.
And... Normally, I would be annoyed by that, but I found myself completely swept up in it. Like, I was in. And so everything that happened was like a surprise, but exciting. I was completely swept up in the entire thing.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the movie.
That's a very good synopsis.
Thank you. Before we get started, though, mm-hmm. have you seen In Bruges?
No.
I did a quick little look just at the poster.
Mm.
So the two main actors are Colm and yes. Padraic.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who the third main actor is in Bruges?
Your mum?
Yes.
Sorry, that's so immature. Michelle.
Has been, I don't know what came up over to me. Some mischief.
No,
it's not my mum, but it is your daddy, Ray Fiennes.
Daddy.
So I don't know if that helps.
Awesome. Okay. So well, maybe when I'm in a better mood, I might have to watch it.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, give some breathing time.
Let's give it, I don't know, maybe 4 months and I'll give it a go.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
So the first thing I will advise is maybe wait till this comes out on some kind of a streaming service so that you can watch it with subtitles, because I imagine watching this movie with subtitles will make it so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I think mostly the names for me.
Yeah,
because they would say them so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I only know the Padraic thing because I looked it up afterwards.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, what did I do wrong?
No. Because, again, I liked the movie, so I looked it up.
Yeah.
Which is also another new sensation for me after a while. Okay, so where should we start?
So I have to...
Talk to me.
...ask, what was the first thing that you found funny in this movie? Where was the first joke for you?
I should have written them down as they happened.
That's okay. Hey, you were having a good time.
I was having a good time.
So that's not something you would usually do.
I don't normally do notes when I'm having a good time. The first funny thing, okay, well, the first funny thing I wrote down, so you know when they're talking about, they're trying to figure out if Padraic is the dimmest person on the island.
Yes.
And they're like, no, the other guy, the young kid's the dimmest.
Yeah.
And then Patrick's the second dimmest on the island. And then they're talking to the young guy, and the young guy uses the word touche in a sentence. And then Patrick's like, doesn't know what it means. And then there's this moment where Padraic and his sister look at each other like they've just realized that now Padraic is the dimmest person on the list. Yeah. So little moments like that. Like I found that really I found it charming and cute. I think that's what sucked me in.
Yeah.
I found it charming and cute, and I wasn't expecting it to be such a small, insulated story. I really thought Banshees of Inisherin, it's going to be like some kind of battle or like a heist or a mystery. But it's purely just this really small story about a friendship that ends prematurely. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think I was more sucked in by the charm of it all.
Mm.
And just I thought, like, this is cute. And there's no death and there's no carnage and there's no violence until an hour and a half.
And then it gets crazy. No, that makes sense. I think, yeah, because it's like at the start even, this is how I knew I was in a bad mood.
Yep.
Was at the start, they were doing like, kind of like a Monty Python-esque, like long form sketch where they were like quipping at each other.
True, true.
And like it was like a lot of filling in the blanks. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, get over yourself. Like,
oh, dude, I can so see, because we messaged last night, and as soon as I realized that you didn't enjoy it, I was like, no, I can see how this movie would be a fucking slog to get through if you're not enjoying it from the get-go.
Yeah.
If you're not charmed by it, I think you have to be charmed by this movie from minute one.
Yes.
Otherwise?
2 hours of watching three men on the brink of suicide.
Yeah, so it gets so real dark.
Really, like, because I, again, it's been a bad week. So I'm like on my mental health shit. So I was just like, all these people need help. They need help. They need therapy. They're all so sad. This isn't funny, guys. This is serious.
Oh my God. That's such a bleak movie.
Yeah, I was like, no one's communicating how they need to communicate, and like something bad is gonna happen, and I just fucking see, and everyone's like, haha, this is funny, and I'm like, this is how we lose people, is you don't read the warning signs.
And that's exactly what happened at the end. So you actually, you got it more than the rest of us.
No, but I didn't want to. I needed a movie to cheer me up.
Oh no, not this one.
Because I see the writing in this is very, very funny, and it's very subtle and dry and like very, I was about to say UK humor, but Ireland's not part of the UK.
Yeah, very nice.
So, yes. So the European
humor. I really liked the old school like Irish Gaelic type of speak.
Yes. They are really without doubt, I think, the funniest.
Yeah.
Country.
Yeah.
Hands down.
And just that all of it, the mannerisms and the little phrases that they use, like how they put like at the end of everything. Yeah. Like it's
they say
fun.
Fecking instead of fuck.
Fecking is great.
Fecking's awesome.
I love it.
That's like watching Derry Girls, and they have all of their own dialect. They say like, that's class.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, what's the, when they think someone's hot, they're like, they're a raid.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah. They're like, he's a raid.
A raid?
Yeah.
I like that.
And I'm like, ooh, I haven't heard that. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the friendship breaks.
Let's talk about the friendship.
Yes.
Let's talk about the themes, I think, more than the cast. Because the cast, let's be honest, it's just a bunch of Irish dudes being Irish dudes.
Yes. Yeah. And they're all great.
And they're great. Mm. Yeah. There's one lady, the sister. Siobhan?
My heart broke for her.
Me too. How did you feel about her like being the only woman and like the representation in it?
I felt it was very real.
Me too.
Of her just feeling so trapped on this island with a bunch of crazy men, a bunch of the craziest men you've ever seen in your whole life.
And codependent men.
Oh,
as well.
God.
Like, you just know that woman just did not get any rest.
No.
She's a sister, but she's definitely also a mother.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too aware of the mental and emotional labor disparity at the moment.
Yeah.
To be like... Like, my TikTok feed is just, like, constantly throwing all these statistics at me about, like, the invisible labor of women.
Ugh.
And she was struggling under a massive amount of invisible labor. I was like, no, this is meant to be funny. And I just see the serious side of it. So now I'm stressed.
We had such different viewing experiences.
She needs someone to see her, to acknowledge her. Yeah. She's going to get it. And then she just has to leave.
She just has to fuck off. I was so happy when she left, though.
Me too.
I was really, like, thankful to the writers that they did that. I really liked how she was portrayed. She was honestly portrayed as just the only normal one in the fucking island.
Yeah.
And with an actual good head on her shoulders, she's kind, she's caring. And I love that that character didn't have to get stuck on the island for the rest of her life. I love that there was a moment for any of them where it's like, oh, there's more beyond this island.
Mm.
There's the mainland. It's right there. You can see it.
Yeah.
Go.
Just every day you're looking and being like, it looks busier. It's like there's so much more going on.
There's
over there.
Heaps going on. There's explosions. They got libraries that you can get jobs in.
Yes. Also, what stressed me out as well is just like the clothes, because there's like, how many characters in total are there? So we've got our two main characters, the sister.
The cop.
The cop.
The kid.
The kid.
Jenny.
the bartender's pal,
I guess,
who's there, and then the shop lady and the old lady.
And the old lady, yeah.
And they're the only ones with lines. So it's 10 people.
Okay.
For the whole town.
Yeah.
And they're the only people, like, otherwise there's not that many, like, background actors or, there's like, really extras not. In it. So it really feels like it's just 10 people.
Is it just you guys?
Who go to the pub every fucking day and do the same thing. And I was like, that is so...
I would be going insane as well.
Scary to me. And they're like, none of them... they're like, oh, my God, Siobhan reading her books is crazy. And I'm like... What do you mean? What are you doing? What are you doing all of your
day? All day.
Film your time.
I was definitely thinking that. At one point I said to Luke, like, so when was electricity invented? Because, like, can they listen to music or it's just fiddles?
Yeah,
oh, that's the only music they can listen to for the rest of their lives right now is fiddles.
Yeah, so... fucking stressful.
Even when they go to the pub, there's one other person in the pub. It's like, is this the only pub on the island?
Yes.
In an Irish island?
Yeah.
As if there's only one other person in this place. And then it wasn't until he goes to the shop and speaks to the shop lady, I'm like, okay, there's more civilization
here. Yeah, they're living on the quiet side of the island. I was like, oh, okay, that's a relief, but it's still so scary.
What do they do with their days?
Exactly.
What would they, like, how do you pass 12 hours?
Maybe they get those, like, the hoop and stick. Maybe they just do that all day.
Probably.
That's where my mind first went to.
Yeah, so... Okay, themes. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Themes of...
Friendship. Male friendship.
Male friendship.
And, God, it's so brutal.
It is really brutal. I felt really hard for Patrick.
Yeah.
I felt like Colm was being really unfair.
Yeah. To just break up, like, essentially break up with someone and still live... It's essentially, it's like you broke up with someone and then you know 10 people in your whole wide world and you all go to the same place every day.
Well, it's like if you lived with your partner and then you broke up but you can't afford to move out, you still live in the same apartment as them.
A fate that I hope I never have to live through.
Nope.
If you've had to do it, I'm so sorry. That is awful.
I respect you and you're a hero.
Yeah, you're a hero.
You could manage that, both of you.
Yeah, so it's like, it's impossible. And the thing that he's like, I'm going to cut my finger off if you talk to me. And I'm like, well, there's only 10 people to talk to.
What? Yeah.
Actually, no, 9, because you're one of them. you're one of the 10.
Like, I get where he was coming from. I get where Colm was coming from, being like, I'm at the end of my life and there's only so much time. But he was such a fucking dick about it.
Yeah.
There is a good – and I know this is 1923 Island, but there was still, like, a way to break up with a friend back then that wasn't just ghosting them in front of them.
Yeah. Also, so I'm like, what are you so busy? You, like, do you have a job?
I was thinking that too. Like, hey, you're all about – you need to – compose this greatest fiddle song that you've ever composed, but like there's 12 hours of sunlight in the day. Say you spend 10 of those composing, you can still go have a beer with Patrick for 2 hours.
There's only so many hours you can fiddle for. That's like writing jokes.
Yeah.
People sit there and tell me, they're like, oh, I just wrote all day. I'm like, no, you didn't. You wrote for 30 minutes and then you wandered around, looked a few things, Googled some facts that you'll never turn into jokes.
Yep.
Came back maybe and did another 30 minutes and that's it. No one's writing for 8 hours a day. No one's fiddling for eight hours a day.
It's like if you have any kind of artistic friend and they tell you that they do their art at all for 8 hours a day.
No.
There's a lot of procrastination in that time. Yeah.
There's a lot of admin. You can do admin for 8 hours a day.
100%.
Booking gigs, editing videos, editing more videos, wondering if you're uploading the video correctly, uploading the video, getting anxious about it, being like, why did I post that? Taking the video down, editing it again.
Uploading the video, realizing that there was one tiny spelling error in the captions.
Ooh, yeah, so you gotta take that down, reload it up again. So that can take up 8 hours of a day.
100%.
Maybe more.
If someone tells you they're writing jokes for 8 hours, they're insane. That's not possible.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, I was really affected by the friendship breakup storyline. Yeah, it really affected me. Yeah.
Also, because I think we've all gone through a friendship breakup, and I think that friendship breakups are harder to get over in a way, like time wise.
Big time. Yeah.
Because it's not even like a definitive, because with a like a romantic relationship, you're like, well, obviously, like this is something that has to end.
And that what it means is we don't fuck anymore. Like it's a clear cut ending to a relationship. You know exactly what the future holds for you.
Yes.
But you're right, when a friendship breaks up, it's very murky.
Yeah, because with a relationship, it's like there's so many reasons that you can break up, and it's like, oh, like we're moving in different parts in life, or we're, the chemistry's not there anymore, or we're incompatible in a way, or like things aren't just working living together, or you've fallen out of, like there's so many different things. But when a friendship breaks down, it always fundamentally comes down to like, I don't like you anymore.
Right.
And that's brutal.
And that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
Like that's all Colm can muster of keep, like to say for the longest time at the beginning is just that I just don't like you anymore.
And I was thinking there would be another reveal, but there'll be another layer, and it's literally just like brutal honesty of like, nah,
I just don't want to spend my abundance of time with you. Because you're right. I had a friendship breakup 2014. So it's like, what, 8 years ago? Fuck me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. 8 years ago now. It's by far the most heartbreaking thing I've ever been through in my life.
Mm.
And it still lingers in my head every now and again.
Same. I had a big one a couple of years ago, and I remember like I just couldn't stop talking about it for
long. My god, me too. Yeah
And you're like, you can see people getting sick of it and just being like, you need to get over it, and you're like, I can't.
But it's not as easy, there's not as many videos and tutorials to watch like there is with a relationship breakdown.
Yeah.
You know how to move on from that. It's been talked about to death. But there's no instructions on how to get through a friendship breakup.
Yeah.
So when Patrick was being so annoying and still like bothering him and pestering him, I was like, I get it. Cause that's what I did after, it was actually quite a similar situation. And I was the pest for a while after, because I couldn't let it go. I just didn't understand why, and I couldn't let it go. I didn't want to let it go. Mm. And now after time and stuff, I'm like, well, there was a reason for it. There was a need for it.
Yes.
It needed to happen, and I'm a better person for getting through it. But at the time, I was in complete denial.
Mm.
And so my friend would have ended up chopping off their fingers too.
Yeah.
I was feeling Patrick big time.
Yeah. And just the whole like giving someone impossible hoops to jump through of like, out of these 10 people, never talk to me again. If you do, every time I'm going to cut off a finger. I'm like, you just want to cut off your finger, babe.
A little bit. I was like, is this a like masochism in Cole?
Because yeah.
He was very, he chopped him off quite easily.
Yes.
He was very quick to do it.
Yeah.
His resolve was strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, maybe did everyone have like lead poisoning and everyone was just slowly going crazy? Oh, okay. So I just quickly looked up. I was like, what if this is based on a true story of a bunch of people going crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that came up was the movie is a metaphor for the Irish Civil War.
Oh.
Because it's like no one really knows what they're fighting for anymore.
And it's just sending everyone insane.
Yeah.
And just making everyone really reactionary.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm.
Okay.
All right. Well, now, okay. I'll come one step down off my high horse.
But you know what? That's something that I don't like. It's homework, and you needed to do homework to appreciate it, and I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
Okay, so another theme, dudes hate communicating.
Oh, my God. When Siobhan was crying in bed and he rolled up, also so – that bothered me so much that there were, like, siblings in their 40s and they're sleeping. This is the thing where I was like – in a way, I was like, these people are, like, dude, this is also some real pretty privilege. I was like – these people are too good looking to be doing this.
Agreed.
Like, surely someone has just...
Surely someone's visited from the mainland and been like, Siobhan's hot AF.
Yeah, offered to marry, either of them.
Yeah.
Even though he's an incredible dum-dum.
Oh, he's such a dum-dum.
But that's what happens when you're hot.
Yeah. He's dumb but kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole communication, like him being absolutely flummoxed that Siobhan has any kind of emotions or depth to her.
Yeah.
And just having to leave the house rather than talk to her about it. And, of course, Colm not being able to properly communicate all of his feelings and properly explain, like to having to resort to cutting off fingers instead of just having a fucking conversation.
Yeah, I guess because it's the only way he was going to get – and it really was the only way he was going to get through, and then it still didn't work.
So I am confused though. Like if Colm wants to spend the rest of his days composing fiddle songs, why does he cut off all of his fingers? He can't compose anymore.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So stupid.
Stupid old man.
So dumb. And another Siobhan moment that made me laugh is when she comes into the pub and she's like to, what's his name?
Let's call him Patrick.
Patrick. She's like, Patrick, come home. I need to talk to you about something. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk. And she's like, but I need to talk to you about something. And he's like, no, I don't feel like it.
That was real. Like, I know this is going to be a serious conversation.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me right now.
I just wish that you could, when someone's like, I have a very serious thing to talk to you about, you can be like, no, thank you.
No.
I don't want it.
No.
Yeah.
I would be like, well, can you text it to me instead so I can process it on my own?
I'd be like, can you just deal with it and just send me a letter in a month? Just, honestly, just ghost me. I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Loneliness, I guess, is another theme because there's a lot about dudes getting lonely.
Or like not being able to identify what the feeling of loneliness is.
Yes.
Because Patrick is so clearly lonely. And then
desperately lonely.
Siobhan asks, like, do you ever get lonely? And he's like,
lonely. And he storms out.
Yeah, he's like, what are you talking about, you crazy bitch? And then spends the whole movie chasing around Colm.
His friend.
Trying to be like, be my friend.
I'm lonely. Wait,
I can't be alone. It drives me crazy.
So it's interesting to see it. You don't see men get lonely very much in movies.
Yeah.
Because in movies, I feel like it's all like machismo and dudes being like, I love being by myself. I prefer it to not have any responsibilities or connections to people.
Mm.
So it was interesting to see a man get lonely.
Yes.
Because we see women get lonely in movies a lot.
Mm, when their husbands go and do cool things.
Yeah, without them.
And they've got to stay at home with the kids. And then they're trapped in a very bland character. Breakdown.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing for them to do except walk from the kitchen to the living room.
I just like to imagine, like, you know movies where the revenge of a dead wife?
Yes, of course.
Trope. Yeah. Even, like, before she dies, though, I like to imagine, like, they're like, bye, honey, I love you so much. They give him a kiss, walk out the door, and then she just walks back inside, closes the door, and stands a meter behind it just waiting till he comes home. Just being like, I have no other wants, no other needs, no other writing. I'll just wait.
That would be a really fun sketch, the wife character in every action movie. Like, what's her day actually like? And she just doesn't do anything until he comes home. Yeah.
And then when she dies, you see her smile a little bit at the last second.
Release. Sweet release.
Woo!
So I was... It does get quite tragic towards the end. Like when Jenny dies.
I
really did not like that part.
I was so angry because also it was so sad because she's a little donkey.
She's a miniature donkey and she's so fucking cute. And we've been forced the whole movie to fall in love with her too.
She's so cute.
Every time she's on camera, it's just like a medley of cute animal TikTok videos. Like every time we see her, she's doing something cute.
And she's got a little bell around her neck. You hear her coming. And she's just like, and when they say like my little, they call her like the little donkey in their adorable Irish accents, which I can't do because if I'm going to say donkey in an accent, it has to be
Scottish.
Donkey.
My little donkey.
Which makes it significantly less cute. Let me try. Okay. Top of the morning, dude.
Little donkey.
Little. It's not little. No, that's British. Little donkey.
If you are Irish.
So sorry.
Please send us a voice note if you sang Little Donkey. We would love that. Or if you can do it in an Irish accent, please.
Ugh.
Please send it to us and teach us how to do it.
Ugh, yeah, so tragic.
So they killed her in the most brutal of ways.
Ugh. I think just another thing I really enjoyed is I got every decision that they made, except for the fingers cutting off thing, of course. But as soon as he realized that Jenny died because she choked on one of Colm's fingers, I was like, 100%, you go burn down that house. Like, I get it. Whereas normally in these kind of like revenge-y moments in movies, I'm like, ugh, God, boys, just
talk.
Yeah. But at that point, I was like, he's not going to talk to you. He's just killed literally the last friend you have on this island, especially once Siobhan moves away. He deserves to be taken down a peg or two, and it's 1923 Ireland. All you know is physical violence. Mm. So go fucking burn the house down.
I was like, when he walked into the pub, I was like, kill him. Kill him now. He wants to die anyway. Kill him.
Stupid eyes.
I was so angry.
Ugh. And then I found it really sad when the kid died.
Yeah. Well, I just like, again, I was so caught up in everyone's mental health and how bad it was.
Yeah.
When they revealed that he's being beaten and assaulted by his dad.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yeah, of course he's going to kill himself. Yeah. That's how the shit happens. It's like.
Yeah, fucking dad. So the dad is the cop in for anyone listening.
Yeah, who beats his son. And also, like, it started with such, like, a funny thing of, like, oh, we see his dick, which I hated.
Ew, yuck.
I really hated that.
Because it's not a good free the dick version of a dick. It was
really perverted.
Perverted because he also says that, like, dad's fallen asleep because he's just jerked off.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Ugh.
You shouldn't know that.
Oh, you should.
You should not know that.
Oh, God, yeah. I didn't even put that together.
Oh, yeah. It was really fucked. So I was like, ew, that's gross. And then, when they reveal that he's also assaulting his son, I was just like, oh, my God.
And then he's just like, the only cop in town, and he thinks he runs the town. He says at one point, I am the law.
Yeah, ugh.
So it's another theme of this movie is ACAB, but in 1923.
Judge Dredd throwback. Yeah. For all the dreadheads out there watching this movie.
Okay. How do you feel after our chat?
Look, this is the weird thing about this movie is I think I have a theory that the script of this is undeniably funny. I think if you just read this off the page. Mm. If you're a production company, you'd be like, this is so fecking funny. Brilliant. And then on screen, I was like, this is dragging a little bit. I don't like how quiet it is. It was
very quiet.
It got to a point where, because I had bought multiple snacks with me to try to cheer myself up.
Of course.
And I felt guilty every time I took a handful of popcorn because I was like, the whole cinema can hear this.
Just the crumple of the popcorn itself.
And can hear me chewing. And also, even when they're in a pub full of people, it was silent.
That's
in the
what
background.
I mean. Like, where is the music? That's the first time I'm like, considered the fact that they don't have music to listen to because there's nothing playing in the pub.
Yeah.
Except fiddle players at the pub at night.
So, in the execution, I was in a very bad mood and just didn't hit for me.
Totally. Mm. I was surprised that this hit for me.
Yeah.
As we were watching, I was fighting it because also Luke was really excited to watch it. So, therefore.
Boys are really excited to watch this.
So, therefore, I had to actively not like it.
Yeah.
Of course, just out of spite.
Of course. As I was leaving.
That's what this podcast has done to me.
As I was leaving to come here, Sam Bowden and Skip were recording their podcast.
Beautiful.
Woe Free Lunch. Go give it a listen.
That's great.
And they're like, oh, what movie are you talking about? And I was like, oh, Banshees of Inisherin. And Sam's like, oh, don't ruin anything. I'm so excited to watch it. And I had to be like, okay, bye. And not like change my face at all or anything.
Loved it. It's good.
So good.
Ugh. I mean, it's beautiful. It's quiet, but it's fucking beautiful. Mm. I mean, they had the most picturesque friggin' Irish island to shoot on. Like, it's so green. And then there's the waters right there. And it's lovely to look at.
Mm. Gorgeous.
Okay. All right. Questions for you.
Yes.
Did this movie make you horny?
Nope.
It actively is not sexual. Yes. There is no romantic storyline. There is no kissing. There's no smooching. There's no romance in this movie whatsoever. Yeah.
No one's allowed to have a good time ever.
Nope.
What is happening in this
very
movie?
Very cold. Very dry. Would you recommend this movie on a date?
Feck no. Feck no. No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say. What about you?
I would. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Fair enough.
Ratings.
Okay. How many? Come on. Fingers.
You have to.
Five.
How many sheared off fingers out of five do you give this movie, Rebecca?
Look, I will admit this is a harsh rating, but also not only because I've had a bad week and I was in a bad mood watching this, but also because this movie did beat out Everything Everywhere All at Once for a Golden Globe.
I just had a lovely 42 minutes where I forgot that fact. Damn it!
I can't shake it because I am so passionate about that movie.
That does fucking annoy me. I don't think this deserved to win more than everything. No way.
Especially in the musical comedy genre.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, this was not like...
That's rude.
This movie honestly belonged, I think, more in drama. If anything. It was not funny enough to warrant to be entirely a comedy.
No, because it's very dark.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it just bothered me that another movie that's got an all-white male lead cast that has been done before, it's essentially, from everything I've heard, it's quite similar to In Bruges.
Right.
And so I just was disappointed that, you know, again, a movie that's different and interesting and really put in the effort to be unique and tell another story and a diverse story and an interesting story in a really exciting new way didn't get the award it deserved. And this one did. And it just really, it made me really sad.
Really well said, my love.
Yeah, so I give it one finger for Jenny the Donkey in her memory. She's not actually dead, by the way.
Oh, good.
I looked that up.
Okay.
That was the one thing I looked up. I was like, is a donkey okay?
I looked up how to say Patrick's name and you looked up, is the donkey okay?
What about you?
I'm going to give it four.
Okay.
Just because, for everything I've said, I found it really intriguing and charming. Probably won't ever watch it again.
Fair enough.
Actually, in fact, we'll never watch it again. But
it's slow enough to download in one go.
Yeah. You can watch it in real time as it's downloading.
No need for buffering. It's all in there. Got it. Thank you.
But I give it four because mostly out of surprise.
But hey, that's also like reviewing it in a vacuum of like, this is, you watch the movie and you're like, this is what I give it for what it is. Instead of me being like, it wasn't the one that I wanted.
No, but I meant to say this before, but I didn't want to interrupt you. I think saying that you've come into it like you were in a bad mood, you weren't having a good week, all that kind of stuff, that's also valid because no one watches movies as a complete blank slate. Everyone takes whatever's happening to them into it. So that's good. That's a good advice point. If you're in a bad mood, don't watch this movie.
It's not a bad mood movie.
Great. Well, that was The Banshees of Ed Sheeran. I needed one more. We release episodes weekly, so please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Please join us next week when we watch the prequel.
Prequel.
Of Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon.
One of my favorite movies that I've definitely dude cinemaed, so I'm very excited to see how you feel about it.
I'm very excited.
And if you want to keep up with us and watch movies we are reviewing, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dude Cinema Pod and like our Facebook page of the same name. You can chat to us there or shoot us an email at guidetodudecinema@gmail.com.
And if you want to support the podcast in any way, shape, or form, we put it out for free every week. So if you would like to give us a little reward, we would appreciate that by signing up to our Gold Class, where you get bonus episodes every single week, as well as early access to live shows and all other things that we do.
All the good stuff.
And ad-free episodes as well.
Yes.
Which is very handy. If you don't have any money, guess what? This is something you can do. You can give us a 5-star review.
Please.
And in your review, let us know what movie a dude has told you to see, and we'll review that shit for you.
Yeah, and if it's too much work to go and find where to do the reviews, we've got all the links in the show notes. Reviews, star ratings will really help us chart and find new listeners and all that kind of stuff. So please jump on that.
And if you want to show your pride in the real world, baby, we got merch.
We sure do.
Tote bags and stickers at dudesinamapod.com.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Alexia.
Yes, my love.
I'm trying to think how to say it in an Irish accent.
Oh, God.
Cum tetu. Whatever.
Cum tetu.
Akuma chair to you.
Oh, that's good. You're being calm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, and on behalf of myself, the Cinemates, and Ashley, akuma chair to you and yours.
Yay!